You're listening to Sounds Broadly Specific, and I'm Steve Duncan. Today, I'm going to continue talking about WordPress, because over the weekend, I had a bit more experience. I ended up signing up for the business level. After a lot of thought and gritted teeth, I decided, okay, I'm really not that interested in becoming a web developer right now. I really just need something that I can count on. And so my focus was on getting the hosting sorted out so that I would not have to mess with it. And so far, I'm not 100% sure that I'm not going to be taking them up on their 2-week money-back guarantee, because the first thing I tried to do was update the theme. Now, you know, there wasn't a whole lot wrong with the existing theme. It just looked kind of old and stale, and I hadn't ever really put any effort into making it look nice in the first place. So why not at least do the minimal, right? Do the minimum. So asked about it on Reddit. Somebody suggests using the 2024 theme. Sure, okay. I go look at it. At first, it seemed like I might spend a week trying to get this thing to look right, but as it happened, I had it mostly sorted out in, I don't know, less than an hour. And then later, I realized that I had kind of messed something up, or at least I thought I had messed something up. I'm not a web developer, so the way this theme works is it's a block-based theme, which means that it's blocks within blocks within blocks, or objects within objects within objects, and they inherit certain things from their parent objects, and one of them is content width, and I was getting a lot of strange results, and it took me a while to figure out why. And in the process, I thought, well, I probably broke something while I was busy deleting stuff from the original theme, which was really meant to do anything and everything under the sun, it seems like. You know, when you just want a blog, which is just a list of posts, you don't need all this other portfolio stuff and whatnot. So I went through and deleted all that stuff, and I realized I'd kind of messed some stuff up. So I went to go reset the theme, and that's when I learned that there isn't really an easy way to do that. All of the theme settings are apparently set in the database. Now, this is different from past themes. In past themes, all the settings were set in a file, and so, you know, you just overwrite the file, and boom, you're back to square one. With this, it means doing stuff to the database, probably just deleting records, but there isn't a button that says revert changes or something. So what I learned was, one, always do a backup before you make any changes to your site, and two, make lots of backups while you're making changes to the sites. Three, you know, you probably should have used a staging site, Steve. Well, what do you know? The business level of WordPress.com comes with a staging site. So let's turn that puppy on. Well, sure enough, go to server settings, and there's a spot where you can turn on the staging site. So I did that. Just took a few minutes. Go to the staging site, and you can make whatever changes you want. And then there is a push to production kind of button. It's actually called synchronize, and you can go in either direction. But the thing that's confusing is, there's little toggle switches for what parts you want to synchronize. And one part is the theme and all the associated files. So I do that one. And this is after I had made my changes in the staging site. So I go to push those into production, and nothing happens. Hey, you remember when I said the 2024 theme, all the changes are in the database? Well, that requires just overwriting the entire database, which is an excellent example of just the pure frustration-inducing dynamics one has working. Because evidently, the people who made the decision about designing a theme so that all of the theme changes go into the database were not talking to the people who designed the staging site version or the code associated with that, because Now what this means is if you're using the 2024 theme and you want to make changes in staging, your staging database needs to be kept up to date with your production database, which means you're first going to have to synchronize the database from production to staging and then synchronize everything back. Oh, wait a minute. You can't do that, because when you do that, you'll overwrite the changes you made in staging. So now the workflow seems to be, if you're going to make changes to your theme, first synchronize the production database back to the staging database so the staging matches production. Then make all of your changes really fast, because any changes made to the database on either side before you're done are effectively lost. Well, any changes that are made to the production side before you're done are lost. And then you push from staging back to production. Okay. That is dysfunctional, to say the least. Now, I'm not a professional web developer, but I have in my past gotten so far as using a staging site. And really, you want to be able to have a lot of flexibility on the staging side so that you can work on things with old data. Maybe that's very well tested and very, very slow to change data. And then you want to be able to put in the latest, craziest data to test how that works. Now, on a blog, maybe you don't have that dynamic so much, but you still don't want to have to change in production any more than you absolutely have to, because every change you make is just potentially more problems. Particularly if you're talking about interactions between plugins, let's say, or interactions between a plugin and a theme, for example. Now, even a theme in WordPress, even on a personal blog, can be pretty confusing, because we tend to think in terms of that home page, right? If I type in, you know, swduncan.com, what do I get? But really, that's not the important page. If you think about it, how most people are going to arrive at my blog, they're going to have gone to search, and they're going to be looking at a single post page. Wow, those are some astonishingly loud birds. Or folks are going to click on a tag in the tag cloud that's at the bottom of each page. What does that page look like? These are the things that really have to be looked at. But if you're not a professional, you're just doing this in a hurry, it's easy to forget those things. And those are where the difference is between the home page and those pages, is where the operationality of these things called templates and patterns, which are like building blocks, create reusable parts so that you're not repeating your code too often. That's where those come in. But when you're making changes, you may make the changes kind of in the wrong way. Rather than changing the thing that should be changed, you might change the thing on the out, you know, at a higher level, which might give you the same result, but the result is no longer portable because it's not part of the smaller thing. So, for example, if there's a content stack and you change the width of the group that the content stack is located in, that change isn't going to happen for everywhere the content stack is used, just in that one spot. Where if you make the change in the content stack, you know, you get the idea. Anyway, so something that always struck me with WordPress is they wrap everything in these superlatives about how easy it is and how capable, how easy it is to make all these changes and how WordPress can do all these different things. Until you go to do them and you realize that you're working with a lot of interactions between pieces made by different companies. Different companies with different ideologies about how to do things, different philosophies, and so on. Even when you're at the $300 a year business level. Now, I didn't pay $300 for it. I had a discount code, and I also had a usage or a fee credit from another site that I took down. So it was actually substantially lower than that. But still, that's a lot of money. And you might say, well, that's really, you know, for the people who are really serious about this or making a lot of money from their blog. Well, those folks could afford to pay a professional to do this. The professional probably doesn't need the stuff that comes with, doesn't need all the stuff that comes with WordPress.com, right? So there's a really kind of a misalignment between how the product is packaged and sold and what they really kind of deliver. So in the end, I ended up using a different theme called Independent Publisher 2, which is not the new block style theme that 2024 is, but is closer to the look I want. And I, you know, either one of these is still going to be kind of a pain in the butt to change, but at least with Independent Publisher 2, I can use the staging site to make changes offline. And I can make those changes without feeling like, you know, the bomb timer is ticking. I mean, not that my site gets enough traffic that anybody would probably even notice, but you feel like you're, you know, like everybody's watching you when you're making these changes in a live site. So in the end, guys, I got to tell you, I don't know who is actually buying the business level of WordPress.com. If it's really business folks or if it's just folks like myself who just are trying to get a plan where they're kind of taken care of. But I got to say that there's a lot of opportunity there for WordPress to make this a bit easier. I understand the desire to make a theme that that meets as many use cases as possible. And honestly, if you read the documentation for the theme, and they don't, you know, it's not trying to be an online store. It was really aimed at three specific areas. Although the first one, independent and small business. Well, okay, that's not very specific. And then it says photographers and artists, I think. And then the last one is personal bloggers. Well, if you're a personal blogger, that theme's got a lot of work. You're going to be doing a lot of work probably before you are ready to put that theme online, unless you've got a heck of a lot of images and a heck of a lot of about yourself kind of content that you want to put out there. If you're somebody who wants to publish a large and complicated manifesto of some kind, yeah, well, it'll be good. But there's, by default, I think they put all the sections they could in there. So when you first open this theme up, you're like, oh my God, where's the blog, right? It's this little tiny box down at the bottom. And, you know, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to that. I want to see a list of posts, right? In fact, I'm not even doing full posts. I'm doing excerpts, which for me is like, you know, a little new age. Anyway, I think I like the method of modifying 2024, but if it's in the database, then there absolutely has to be some way to roll changes back, or make those changes offline without having to copy the entire database. Because if your blog is one that's getting much traffic, you've got comments, you've got lots of other things happening. God forbid if you're somebody with multiple people writing content on maybe different timelines, you might find that you know, making changes to the site is something that needs to be coordinated with Mission Impossible level precision. So, if I was using Ghost, how would this be? Well, I don't really know. I probably wouldn't feel the need to make changes because honestly, the themes that come with Ghost just look better. The themes that come from WordPress are not bad looking, but they're not great looking. They look like they were written by a graphic designer who's been sitting in a room full of software engineers for too long. Where Ghosts look more like the graphic designer had their way. And it just looks better. It's more tasteful. I'm not a graphic designer, but I know what I like. I know what looks good to me, for whatever that's worth. That said, it's a personal blog, right? There's not really a big level of, there's not really a clearly understood standard, except that good design is one of those things that kind of disappears, and bad design is one of those things that's kind of in your face all the time. So if you're looking at a site and the first thing you think is, wow, look at that font, and look at that spacing, or look at that color combination, or whatever, that's probably not really a great sign. If the design just falls away and you perceive it more as a feeling about the content, then I think you have success. And all of the WordPress themes, to me anyway, leap out as being very, they're reaching. They look a lot like, I can't really come up with a good analogy, but they all have this desperate sort of feel like they're trying to be very different. And with Ghost, it's a lot more subtle. Unfortunately, though, Ghost still has not done anything with ActivityPub, and there you are. I figure it'll be another half a year, so that's why I went with WordPress in the meantime. Now, if I was self-hosted, I can't say that things would be any better, because the issue with a staging site isn't specific to WordPress.com. That is just an architectural issue. Unless you create a different database for the theme information or some other way, different schema, what have you, you're stuck with the problem of how do I move or how do I synchronize just the theme entries without having to mess with posts and all of the associated tables with that. So I have not gone on the WordPress forums to see if anybody else has noticed this. I can't believe I'm the only one who has. That seems insane, but maybe I'll just read that there just aren't very many WordPress.com business users. I mean, the internet has that way where they make everything look equal, even though they may not be. A website may be showing you 5 products, and they may only be selling one of them in actuality. So, who knows? Maybe I'm the lone fool of the planet who has paid for the business edition. Or maybe the customer support people are stepping and fetching like their heads are on fire and their asses are catching, trying to deal with all the people who are screaming their heads off about this. They're just not doing it in the forums. Anyway, so if you are listening to this, trying to figure out what to do with your own personal blog, the first thing I would say is either just keep with what you're doing or do anything. This is not a make or break kind of problem. This is a first world problem. It's an annoyance. At the end of the day, I don't think most people are coming to my site and reading my content and either being turned away or significantly influenced by the design. It's just not that kind of situation, I think. The design and the layout of the site is really, honestly, more to satisfy my aesthetic than anything else. So do not let this keep you from creating content on the web. The thing that, people wonder when they're starting a business, oh, should I have a good logo? Should I have a great name? Should I have whatever? No, the first thing you need is customers. And for that, you need a product that serves a customer need. You need a value proposition. Same thing on the web. I need to not worry about whether or not my blog has got quite the right look and feel. Instead, I need to worry about producing some content. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Thank you for listening.